Chapter 32. It seemed to take days for the hours to pass. Carrie spent the rest of the afternoon in her bedroom with Lucy, playing nurse, taking her temperature with a toy thermometer, and giving her medicine, M&Ms. They napped, though Carrie didn't sleep for more than a few minutes at a time. The tension was exhausting. She passed the time second-guessing herself. Maybe this wasn't the time to confront David. Maybe she should wait until the rest of this nightmare was over, except that she didn't know her husband wasn't a part of it. She didn't want to stay under the same roof with a man who might have arranged to have her killed. She didn't want her daughter in the same house as him. She worried about Lucy, who was already feeling insecure and clingy. But was there ever a good time for a child's parents to end their marriage? No. She thought about sending Lucy to Kate and John Quinn's home for the night. Lucy loved sleepovers and was friends with the Quinn's daughter, Haley. But Carrie didn't want her daughter out of her control, or out of her sight, for that matter. Things were too uncertain, and she didn't want to potentially put John and Kate in harm's way if Stan Dempsey had decided to go after her daughter to make her pay for Carrie's sins. He could follow her to the Quinns. She would wait to speak to David until after Lucy was asleep. Anka would make sure Lucy didn't go downstairs in the event she woke up. Carrie was very thankful the nanny had insisted on staying the weekend, even though Saturday and Sunday were usually her days off. Anka wouldn't hear of leaving. Her responsibility was to the family. What a sad thing, Carrie thought, that she could trust her nanny more than she could trust her husband. David ordered Chinese for dinner. Lucy was a big fan of mugugai pan. David's appetite was as healthy as ever. Carrie picked at her egg-fried rice, continuously rearranging it on her plate, but eating only a few grains. She rested an elbow on the table and her head in her hand and stared down at the bright bits of peas and carrots dotting the rice, like confetti. "How's your mugu, Lucy-goosey?" David asked, smiling at his daughter.
"I'm Fairy Princess Lucy now, Daddy. Detective Sam said so."
"Detective Sam?" He looked at Carrie.
"He was at the courthouse, Daddy," Lucy went on. "He was my pretend giant, and he carried me all the way to the car. Isn't that nice?"
"Yes, very," David said. "Why was he at the courthouse?"
"I don't know,"
Lucy said with a big shrug, going back to her dinner. "I'm his case," Carrie said. "He was keeping tabs on me." "You should have stayed in the hospital," David said for the 10th time.
"So I could not eat there," she said too sharply, "so they could force feed me jello." "I like jello," Lucy piped up. "I like green jello best. My friend Kelly's mom puts pieces of carrots in her green jello. Isn't that weird?"
Carrie smiled at her daughter.
"I like pineapple in mine," Lucy said. "It's pretty."
"You look ready to collapse, Carrie," David said. "And you're out running around like you think you're fine. You've exhausted yourself." He actually looked concerned for her, and she wondered if any of that look was genuine. A part of her hoped so, even though her practical side told her no. If David cared about her, he wouldn't have been doing what he'd been doing. The more likely explanation was that he wanted her out of his hair so he could do whatever he wanted to do over the weekend. What had Kovac said her name was? Ginny. "Did you get your paperwork?" he asked. "I didn't see you bring anything in from the car." "I forgot it was in my briefcase, which was stolen." "So you went down there for nothing?" "Do I need to pay you back for the gas I used?" Carrie asked with a fine edge of sarcasm. "What's that supposed to mean?"
"Nothing."
He went to say something more, but stopped himself, held up his hands in surrender, and pushed back from the table. "Excuse me, ladies, I have work to do. I'm applying for a grant for the film." Carrie didn't comment. Before this day, she would have encouraged him, tried to be supportive, even though she had long since tired of that game. The time for being David's cheerleader had passed. The time to move on had arrived.